John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." When Paul and Silas came to Thessalonica, some of the residents were so angry that they cried out, "Those who have turned the world upside down have come here also." Our text sets before us the message that turns the world upside down. There is only one God. He saves by grace. Grace inverts your life. The disciples had hidden away, fearful that they might be put to death as Jesus was. And then Jesus came through those closed doors and showed them his hands and his side, the very ones nailed to the cross and pierced by the spear. Twice he announces that good news from heaven, "Peace to you." How often do we find ourselves behind doors of fear? The prevailing attitude in America believes that every God is as valid as the next, so that America is now actually the third largest mission field. Only China and India have more open unbelievers than America. Even many so-called Christians in America declare that teaching that Jesus is the only way of salvation is a horrible sin of exclusivism. One SEMPROF actually said missionaries should not witness to Christ, but just share relative truths. Would we rather stay hidden behind doors of fear than face this antagonism to the gospel? Yet Jesus still comes behind our doors with a message that turns the world upside down. This message of peace inverts man's whole way of thinking, for Jesus arose from the dead. He passed through those doors to demonstrate that he is the one God who has revealed himself to us, the one God who lives, the one God who opens the door of heaven to offer peace to you. For he alone lives to save. Yes, twice Jesus says, "Peace to you." He saves by grace. Going to the cross and arising again is the one way that Jesus could bring this double assurance of grace for grace. Peace to you. Colossians 2 demonstrates that by being nailed to the cross, Jesus was also actually raising a hammer to nail every accusation against us to his own cross. If you had deeply hurt a friend and agonized to know that he had forgiven you, would you be satisfied in feeling, "I think he has"? For 6 millennia, man has been in rebellious war against God with every sin, an assault on his throne. Man's way of thinking is that somehow he must make up for this, must earn God's peace by his own efforts. but Jesus steps through the dead wall of man's works to assure us that we don't need to be satisfied with feeling that we may have done enough, which of course we never can, or feeling that he might forgive us, which can't happen through the law. No, he bestows his peace. The peace that he won in grace, offers through grace, gives by grace. This is a peace that no one can take away from you because it's not based on anything that you have done, but completely on his grace. There is now peace between God and man, based solely on Jesus' death and resurrection in our place. Verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. It stands in heaven. The Father is working identically with this proclamation, whether it's made by the pastor or by you. Because in Christ's completed work, he announces forgiveness for all men. This gospel does not fail, even in man's unbelief. If a billionaire opens a $1,000 account for every person in the city, some may fail to draw it out, but the money is still there. Unbelief rejects the benefit that is there in Christ. Christ's peace thus inverts man's whole way of thinking. For Jesus shows us his nailed hands, his pierced side, and invites us to fill our hearts with the peace of heaven's grace. Your sins have been forgiven. The message that turns the world upside down. Yes, twice Jesus says, peace to you. Grace inverts our life. Jesus shows us that all who believe in this peace are sent on a mission to share his peace. Verse 21, as my Father sent me, I also send you. Rejoicing in this open heaven, we are commissioned to invite others to the peace of Christ's forgiveness. Listen to how Celsus, a man writing in opposition to Christianity, nevertheless describes the Christians of his day. Even the weavers, cobblers, and fullers, men of the most uneducated and rustic character, preach their faith and invite into the kingdom of their God every sinner. Opposition was just the opportunity for their faith to shine out in witness to Jesus' peace, the peace that passes understanding. It was this character of every Christian bent on a mission that contributed to that assessment. They have turned the world upside down with their doctrine. This peace inverts man's whole way of thinking. For possessing Jesus' peace, your life is no longer just video arcades and athletic contests. It's not no longer merely a pursuit of pleasure while you can, a biological crawl from womb to tomb. Jesus opens the door of death for you, breathes his spirit with its gift of faith on you, and invites you to share in his mission as you share in his eternal victory. The message that turns the world upside down. There is one God. He saves by grace. Grace inverts your life. The message that turns the world upside down is the peace of heaven's grace. Your sins are forgiven. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 208, stanzas 4 and 9.